Thank you. Do take a seat. Those who are explorers, you're heading upstairs now. And we'll see you later on. And Ed, I invite you to come up. Thank you. And you can share God's word with us.
We've had our reading from Proverbs, so if you keep your Bibles open at Proverbs 1, we'll look back at some of those verses and hopefully garnish some of their meaning. Let's pray first. Let me pray for our time here now with God's Word, and that His Spirit will really reach out and speak to each of us this morning. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this opportunity we've had to come and worship Your name. We thank You, Lord, that You are wisdom personified. You are the key of all things and of all life. You are the wisest God there is. And we thank You that if we depend on You, we will never regret that going forward. And Father God, we pray this morning that You would enable us to become a bit wiser through Your word and through the Holy Spirit today. And the Holy Spirit, we invite You to help us learn more and more about God and about the Lord Jesus and about all that we need to know in order that we may be able to live with the comfort of Your presence with us. Oh Lord God, just open our hearts to You now, I pray. Thank You. Amen. As I was thinking about this morning, and I came across or read some seemingly unnecessary warnings that were on things. I don't know if you've seen them before. I jotted down a few of my favorites that I've read. I can't prove that these are true, but I also have no reason to doubt they aren't. It was Google after all. There was one on a hairdryer. It's had the warning, please do not use while sleeping. Interesting. On a bag of crisps, it said, you could be a winner, no purchase necessary, see inside for instructions. I can imagine them being really happy in the supermarket as you're opening all the crisps trying to find the instructions, can't you? Marks and Spencer's on a bread pudding, it said, product will be hot after heating. Well, we hope so, maybe. One of my favorites on an iron box, it said, do not iron clothes whilst wearing them. Now, that's a good tip, isn't it? On a night old sleeping product, warning, may cause drowsiness. Well, sure, you'd hope so. And on a child Superman outfit, wearing this product does not enable you to fly. And one more, in a microwave oven manual, it says, do not use for drying pets. And you know, those are quite funny when we read them like this, but I think perhaps one of the scariest things about these product warnings is that they've been put there for a reason and for a purpose. And I would imagine because somebody has done all of those things. You know, the point of that, just as a brief introduction, is because today, as we've already been sort of singing about and thinking about, is about being wise or having wisdom. It's a topic that goes right throughout the book of Proverbs. And today, as we go through chapter 1 and finish chapter 1 of your series, we're titling it The Call of Wisdom. The Call of Wisdom. Now, just as some small recap to set some context, and if you haven't been here, hopefully this will be helpful to you as to the context of what we're reading now. But in chapter 1 so far in Proverbs, it's been described how one of the key intentions of the author of Proverbs is to impart godly wisdom. And the picture language used in the earlier verses of chapter 1 is of a young man who's about to start making his way in life. And he's been urged to heed the wise and the godly counsel that his mother and his father have shared with him, culminating in the instruction given to him in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. A wise warning there. And as I was doing this, it's not part of mine today, but it just occurred to me, you know, the kind of responsibility parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, family members, close friends have in the bringing up of young children before they get out of the house, before they get into the influence elsewhere, bringing them up in God's way, instilling God's wisdom into them, a real thing. And that's what this father did up to this point where his son was about to be set free in the world. And his son, and as well as this, the father also went on to give the reason why. He said to his son, the reason for this is because these sinners will ultimately reap what they sow. And any short-term gains is not going to be worth the long-term consequences of the mistakes you can make. And so we see that the intention of the father and the mother early in Proverbs is to attempt to spare their son the pain and the suffering of choosing the wrong way in life, of choosing the wrong friends, of forming the wrong associations and businesses perhaps, before it's too late. Mark Twain once said, it's easier to stay out than to get out. And there's probably a number of people in the world who would agree with that and wish they'd heard it earlier. And in the verses that lead up to today's verses, that lead up to verse 20, we read how the father urges his son to be careful as he goes out and to watch the people he's mixing with and watch the things he's doing and to be wise in his conduct by keeping close to God. Now, as we come to today's verses, if you've got your Bibles open at verse 20 through to 33, then we'll see the picture changes. Instead of parents now, godly wisdom is now personified as a woman. And instead of being largely in the confines and the security of a home, wisdom is now seen crying out her warning to people in the public walkways of life. And instead of addressing a young, innocent, impressionable son, wisdom is now speaking to those people who are rejecting God and choosing to live their life in their own sinful way. And as we see from verses 20 to 23, God wants us all to receive his wisdom so that we can live in this life and for eternity, because he wants us to live in this life and for eternity with a real purpose for being here. This is what God wants for all of us, to have meaning in life and to have purpose in life, built on his wisdom. And godly wisdom's message in these verses is clear, culminating in verse 23, which I think is the pivotal point here, and certainly the verse I kept focusing back on as I was thinking about today. Turn to God, we're being told, for forgiveness before it's too late, and then follow him and his instructions for life. And so verse 23 puts it this way. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So what God is saying here is, if you listen to my correction, if you take heed of me saying to you, come back to me, stop doing the things that are unwise, come and live my way. And if you do that, God says almost excitedly, I'll pour my spirit over you. We'll pour the Holy Spirit into us. I'll make my words known to you. I want to help you, God says. I want you to be walking close with me so I can walk close with you and keep you company, keep you safe, keep you with me. I want all those things for you, God says. But you've got to want them yourself from me before that can happen. And so God says, if you turn at my reproof, if you heed my warnings, I'll pour my spirit out onto you, and I'll make my words known to you, and we will be able to live wise lives at that point. And you know, another thing that's clear from those three verses is that the message of godly wisdom The need to turn to God and to live for God is for everyone. And therefore, we see how godly wisdom makes her appeal very obviously and very publicly. At the busy streets and the street corners, we're told. The appeal is made at the marketplace. Wisdom can be heard shouting at the city gates, where business was conducted, where legal matters were concluded, where people came in and out. In other words, the places where people are and the places where people are likely to hear the message and the warning godly wisdom has for them. And you know, in Good News for Everyone, we call this the walkways of life. Being ready and being prepared to share God in the walkways of life, the places people may be, either by leaving a Bible for someone to pick up or having a conversation if the opportunity arises. And this is what's happening here. Verse 22 tells us that these verses are focusing in now on God's warning to the people who have, to this point, rejected him and rejected his instructions about the way they should be living their lives. And there are three types of people mentioned in verse 22 that this is addressed to. In the NIV and the ESV, I think, it says, firstly, simple ones. That doesn't sound overly nice, simple ones. But actually, what the Hebrew word here means, what it doesn't mean is somebody who's incapable of learning. It means somebody with no moral compass, if you like, someone who's really easily led astray. And then after that, we're told they're scoffers, people who delight in making fun of God's wisdom and God's wise teaching, and people who delight in making fun of those who choose to follow it. And there's lots of that happening in today's world, isn't there? People mocking God all the time. I was watching a kid's cartoon the other day, and it was hugely blasphemous. And it's the sort of thing that's on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because people are mocking God. But you know, God won't be mocked. Those people need to know this. They need to understand if they don't change back, if they don't change their ways and come back to God, they have got significant problems ahead of them. And this is why wisdom is crying out here in the places where people are. And then finally, there's fools, as it's put. And these are people who know the truth, but they don't want to accept it. Or they've heard the truth, but they don't want to accept it. And there's a lot of people in our country today that would fall into this category. You know, in the Psalms, it says that God says about people that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And what always interests me about that is the fool says in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't say it in his head, in his brain. So I just think what that's saying is, they don't want there to be a God. They don't want to be accountable. And therefore, they just foolishly turn their back on it and ignore all the evidence around them. As they look at creation and see the wonders of it, they ignore it or say it just became out of nothing. And therefore, people who know the truth and don't want to accept it are in a really precarious position as well. But you know, what I love about these verses is you have people here mocking. You have people here trying to pretend it's not real, it's not happening. You have people who are just easily astray and led astray and following everything. You have all of this, and yet God, in his love, is opening up the way for forgiveness still. Does it remind you of Jesus on the cross? People mocking him as he was hurting and being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them. Isn't that amazing? What a God we have. You're never, ever going to regret giving your life to this God, to our God. He's so wonderful. So God is giving an opportunity for all of these people to gain true wisdom, for all of these people to turn to the source of true wisdom, God himself. And so godly wisdom in today's verses is calling out to people to reject their evil ways and to learn and do the will of God instead. And how God will then give us all the wisdom we need in order that we can live for him. This is the message of verse 23, that pivotal verse. And this is the task, I think, that we as a church now, as a combination of Christian people, can take this message out of the Proverbs and bring it into today's life. This is the task, I think, of the church today, to proclaim God's wisdom, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we need to share this twofold message with everybody that we meet and that we can. That they need to have God's forgiveness to be eternally secure. And there's a need to live God's way for our own good and for the good of others. And we need to proclaim this message not just in church, but every walk of life, so that everyone can have the opportunity to hear it. Because much as we would love it, wouldn't we, if it was just people would just come here and sit down and listen, they don't. There's going to be a lot of people outside who could be here today, but have chosen other things. So we have a mission here to go out from the church and reach out to people where we can, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to colleagues, to people we bump into and an opportunity arises. Are we taking the message out to people? The message of wisdom? Are we looking to share that with others? How important is it for us to see people at least know about Jesus and think about coming to him? How high up in our lives is that? You know, it's something that we can do and we should be doing for our Heavenly Father, is sharing his wisdom with others. And moving on, because sadly, of course, not everyone will choose to listen to godly wisdom. And in verses 24 to 32, we see the results of that that are often magnified in people's lives. So godly wisdom first warns guilty sinners of the need to repent, which means to turn away from their sin, but it then warns them to walk in the ways of righteousness. In other words, do everything we can to walk and live in a way that's pleasing to God. However, our verses then go on to warn those who have chosen to reject God that they're on a path that ultimately leads to destruction. And so in verses 24 through to the end of the chapter, godly wisdom is warning people who won't heed God's warning that they're on a course of destruction, that they need to repent and change their minds before it's too late, before disaster and its consequences occur in their lives. Now, I don't believe that these verses are saying that God will bring disaster onto people who disregard his will. And nor do they teach, of course, that a person won't suffer disaster if they're heeding God's instruction and they're trying to walk a godly or live a godly life. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. It's complicated and it's difficult because Proverbs relies on you knowing a lot of other stuff about God as well. But we need the big picture. But if we look focused straight in on Proverbs itself, then what we find is that they do teach, but they teach a general principle. What they're doing here is teaching the general principle that if you live life in a reckless way, then bad things are likely to happen to you. And this is what the warnings are in this morning's verses that we've read. And you know, that applies across life, doesn't it? You know, I've recently just bought a new car, well, new car to me, sort of 20 years old to everybody else, but I just recently bought a new car. It runs on unleaded petrol, and have you seen the price of unleaded petrol recently? It's ridiculous. But you know, my maker's manual tells me that I need to fill it up with unleaded petrol. Now, I could go to the garage, or not even bother going to the garage. I could go home and fill it up with water. And think of the money I would save if I did that. How much I'd save on petrol. But you know, that's not going to be much good for my car. You know, God is the maker of us. He is the maker of all we know and all we see. And when the Maker makes us, he knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for his creatures, for his created beings. And so God isn't a killjoy who relishes stopping us doing things that we enjoy in life. That couldn't be further from the truth. What Jesus said was, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The problem is that because we're not wise in God's ways, we miss and often can't see a lot of this. So God isn't being a killjoy when he says no to some things in life. And as you go through Proverbs and read some of the stuff there, God isn't being a killjoy when he says don't do these things. But what God is saying is, it is foolish and selfish to do some things and to follow your own wisdom and reject his, if that is the case. Then things will go wrong in your life. And you know, as I was thinking about this, about wondering about what was that, I suppose you can look and you can think, perhaps how many families are torn apart today because of the actions of one or other person? How many inmates are in a prison cell today because they didn't follow God's wisdom in the way they lived their lives? Or how many people who've never turned to God through the Lord Jesus for forgiveness, and therefore don't know the joy of God in their lives and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding? How many people are flirting with eternal disaster because they won't heed God's wisdom and his message? God's will is for our own good. All God wants is what's best for us. So we need to heed the wisdom he offers, not reject him and not reject his will for us. But you know, people don't always reject God's wisdom for foolishness. They sometimes and often reject it as foolishness, thinking they know better than God. But godly wisdom warns people that calamity and disaster and the consequences of rejecting her, and that people who reject God only suffer what they deserve. But the likelihood is, in this life, things will catch up with them. And even if they survive this life, when they go into eternity, if they don't know Jesus as Savior, they're in a significant amount of eternal trouble. This is the reason why we share the gospel message, to see people saved from eternal hell, because Jesus has made all that possible. Godly wisdom warns people, verse 31, therefore people who ignore him shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by the turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. So the warning is, turn to God before it's too late, because there'll come a point where there is no chance to repent and return to him. Verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. There comes a time when we have to sleep in the bed that we've made, as forgiveness from God does not automatically erase the consequences of sin in our lives. But there's also a time where we need to be right with God, where we need to have given our lives to him and truly committed to him, when we need to have said, God, I want to take your wisdom and replace it with mine, because I want to be with you for eternity, not lost from you for eternity. And these are the people who will respond to God's wisdom. And as he said in verse 23, these are the people who God will pour out his spirit on and his love on, people who heed his warning. Our time is gone. There's other things to say, but maybe God will use those things through him and through you and through his spirit in your lives as well. But as I finish, just to point out two rather obvious things, I think. The first is, it's better not to be one of those who wait until it's too late to listen to godly wisdom, both in this life and in the life to come. In this life, don't ignore God when he says things are not good for you. Don't selfishly follow your own direction when God says there's a better one for you. And then as we come to eternity, make sure we're saved and safe with Jesus. You know, God's wisdom leads us to peace, and it leads us to his security for all eternity. That's what Proverbs is telling us here. I trust and I pray that you are wise in that you've got God as your Savior, and your wisdom is all tied up in him. And as you walk with him in this life, then you'll know the peace and the comfort and the joy deep-seated that only God can provide. Imagine having to go through some of the things we go through without the knowledge that God is with us and helping us and keeping us. Be safe, be secure, have no worries or fears because God is with us. Amen. Let's can I just pray and then hand back over for the communion time, yeah? Thank you. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word today, and I thank you that one thing that comes out time and time again is your love for us all, your desire to see us come to you, your desire to impart your true wisdom on us. Lord, help us to be wise and to want to walk with you, and help us to grow closer and nearer to you. So Lord, open our eyes to your truths, I pray. And through those verses we read today, Lord, would you just speak to each of us and be our guide and our help. And now, Lord, as we come to worship you in communion, pray you just bless that time as well. Thank you. You're a great God, a God who loves us so very much. Pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.